Let's turn to Psalm 42 in the Old Testament. This afternoon, our text comes from Psalm 42. Here's the word of God. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remembered you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mitzer. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. Father, you are our salvation and our God, so we hope in you. This time, please speak to us with your own word. Please deliver us the gospel concerning your Son who died for us. Please help us to commune with your Son. So, Father, have mercy upon us. We are sinners, but we want to be pleasing to you. So nourish us and also be praised by us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. As you know, we learn from the Bible that we are called to be holy. It's because God is our Heavenly Father and He's holy. Therefore, we are supposed to be or required to be holy. Then what's the picture of a holy Christian like in your mind? What do you think a godly or mature Christian should look like in your picture, in your mind? We all have our own different pictures about what a godly believer or mature believer should look like. But my first question this afternoon is this. Is the psalmist in Psalm 42 near or close to your own picture of a godly believer, mature believer? Can this psalmist be regarded as a holy, like mature, godly believer according to your own definition of being godly? The psalmist here, as we read, seems to be confusing to us, doesn't it? We find his despair, but also we find his hope in God. He's overwhelmed by his sorrow, but at the same time, he sings the praises of God. He seems to struggle with his doubt about God's care for him, but at the same time, he's confident that God will take care of him. Nevertheless, I have to say that this psalmist shows us a vivid or clear picture of a godly, mature believer. It's because one of the most evident characteristics of a godly people is their thirst for God, their longing for God. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He thirsts for God. He longs for God. And we can say that, we have to say that he is a mature, godly believer. So this afternoon, I want to observe together with you this psalmist's longing for God or thirst for God with these two questions. First, how does he thirst for God? Or how does he pray to God? And second question, why does he pray to God? Or why does he long, thirst for God? How and why? Let's notice first point, the first point. How does he thirst for God? From the beginning or throughout the whole verses, the first thing that we can notice is that his prayer is very intense. He's seeking after God desperately. His thirst for God is very intense. The psalmist here compares himself to a deer panting for water. So it's a life and death situation. The deer is on the line between life and death. If the deer finds water, he will survive. But if he fails to find water, he will die. Likewise, the psalmist is saying that he's going to die if he cannot find God. He cannot live any longer without God's help. He cannot find any resource or power to sustain his life apart from God's strength or mercy. So verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Verse 10, a deadly wound in my bones. So the psalmist feels like he's stuck in his deadly, bad situation. And according to his estimation, he cannot solve the problem on his own. He feels pain. He's in a trauma. So also he's on the line between death and life. As a deer pants for flowing streams, as a dehydrated deer pants for water, because if he cannot find, he will die immediately. Likewise, this psalmist is seeking after God with that desperate heart, with that intensity. If I cannot find my God, if I cannot commune with my God again, I would rather die. I would rather die. I would have to die. Because he is my God and my life. That's how he prays in our psalm. I am seeking after God. Let me read verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Here we can observe his honest prayer to God, or his honest thirst for God. One thing that is obvious to us here is that he himself cannot figure out what is going on within himself. He cannot explain about himself. He cannot figure out what is going on in his heart. So he's talking to himself, why? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Don't you know that you are supposed to hope in God? Don't you know you are supposed to praise God? So he's honest. He approaches God honestly. He cannot figure himself out. He doesn't know what's going on within himself. He's downcast. He's desperately, spiritually depressed. But he cannot figure anything out. So here, let's ask ourselves quickly, this way, can I be honest with myself like this psalmist? Can I accept myself as I am like this psalmist? What do you do when you cannot accept, you know, yourself or your spiritual downcast? What do you do if you don't want to admit yourself as you are? Are you maybe trying to disguise yourself as if you are okay or mature or godly to others or even to yourself? Or are you maybe trying to fake before others, even before yourself, as you try to live a lifeless but moral, a religious life? Are you trying to justify your spiritual downcast as you try to perform all the religious practices, thinking that you are okay, thinking that you are godly because you are doing something, because you are doing some good things for God, while your soul is dying, while you are distant from God? But the psalmist here is so honest with himself. He is downcast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Also, he's honest with God and before God. He even says in verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He talks to himself, why are you cast down? I have no idea why I am the way I am right now. But at the same time, he talks to God, Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why didn't you take care of me? Because of you, I'm just downcast. Because you didn't help me. Look at me going through a lot of difficulties in my life. The question is this an expression of unbelief? Does he maybe believe that he can lose his salvation? Does he believe that God is a merciless God who is indifferent to his people? The answer is no. He's honest with God. He can be honest with God. He even can say that, Lord, why have you forgotten me? Here we should learn that we are allowed. Let me say one more. We are allowed to be honest with God. Did you know that? Did you? We are allowed to say what is in our mind and heart before God. We don't have to pretend as if we are okay, why we are not okay before God. In other words, dear brothers and sisters, if you are hurting, let him know about it. If you are grieving, let him see your tears. If you have some doubt about his grace, his mercy, his love for you, don't try to be as if you believe in God's mercy without any doubt. Just talk to him, Lord, why are you not taking care of me? Be honest with God. Why have you forgotten me? As he says, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? God hears your prayer. Our God hears that prayer, your honest prayer. Here, there's one more characteristic of his prayer. That is, the psalmist longs for God exclusively. It's an exclusive thirst for God. As we read, he doesn't try to find any help from any other places. He doesn't try to find his comfort from his social status or from his material blessings. He doesn't go to his family or his close friends to find their counsel even. But he just goes to God. Let me read again. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He desires only for God. He longs exclusively only for God. He fervently seeks only for God, because he knows that no one but God can grant him peace and mercy and protection. So in Psalm 27, we can find a similar statement. One thing have I asked of the Lord. There's only one thing that I am asking of the Lord, which is that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I can gaze upon his beauty. There's only one thing that I desire, that I'm seeking, asking of the Lord, which is I will be with my Lord and gaze upon his glory, his beauty. Desiring God exclusively is not an option that you can choose or you don't have to choose. It is the only way you must choose in order to survive in this life, actually. Because he is your only Savior. He is your only God. He's your only God, your Lord, your Creator. Therefore, we are created to thirst exclusively for God, who loves us, who made us, and who deserves our praise. Is this your prayer? Do you pray like that? Intensely? Desperately? Do you pray that you are honest before God? You can open your heart. You can say everything to God. Can you be honest? Be honest with your God, because he's only God. You are looking for him exclusively. Is this how you pray? Is this? Now, we are moving on to the second section of the sermon. The second question is this. Then why does the psalmist thirst for God? Let me put two answers in this section. The first answer is this. It is because he has forgotten God. He has not forgotten God. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Also verse 6, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon. We all have our own sweet memories since we became Christians, when we walked with God so closely, so intimately. We can all recollect how we enjoyed our with God so closely, so personally in our past. So we should never forget how precious our God has been to us so far. We should never forget how many times He forgave our sins. We should never forget that He has helped us countless times. That's what the psalmist is trying to do in our time. Collect his sweet memories from the past. He remembers how much he loved singing the praises of God with his friends. He remembers he worshiped God with a joyful and thankful heart. And he remembers that God answered his prayer or received his worship countless times. Therefore, God doesn't exist. Therefore, he cannot live as if he never communed with God. Because he cannot forget God. He cannot forget his own God. Then now, how can he, or how does he deal with his present acute pain? How can he get over, move on his suffering at this moment? According to his honest words, God seems to have forgotten him. My tears have been food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" Verse 10, "As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where? Where is your God?'" The psalmist has many people around him, taunting him, mocking at him, but he doesn't try to fight them. He doesn't try to argue with them. He does not defend himself. Rather, he reminds himself of the truth about God. God is my salvation. God is my own God. God is my God. And he talks to himself. Let me read again verse 1. "Why cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." His commune with God, even his feelings, his emotion cannot overwhelm him. It is true, he has feelings, his pain, but he does not let his feelings overrule himself, right? He does not want to think or read upon his emotions. He knows that his soul is cast down, and people around him are taunting him, mocking at him. And they keep saying, "Where is your God?" If you have experienced similar thing, then you know that part of you is saying the same thing. Part of you saying, "Where is your God? Where is God? Does God really live? Is God really alive? Where is your God?" But this psalmist talks to himself, preaches to himself, saying, "God, he's your salvation. He's your God." Dear brothers and sisters, God deserves Our God deserves to be worshipped by us regardless of our sufferings or afflictions. So we have to hope in God, whether regardless of our pain or sorrowness or afflictions or agony, distress, because He is our God. That's what the psalmist is doing in our text. He talks to himself. He preaches to himself. And he praises God in the midst of his downcast. Now let me put the second answer to the question. Why does he thirst for God? The answer is, it's because God has not forgotten him as well. Let me quote 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. According to Peter, our sufferings are designed by God. It's because God is not a cruel God. He doesn't find any joy in our pain itself. But God wants us to grow strong. It's like God wants us to exercise. So if you are downcast, if you are going through some suffering, if you are feeling, if you have some acute pain in your life, please don't run away from your spiritual gym, if that makes sense. Endure your current time. Your current distress or agony is good for your growth. It is designed to strengthen your faith. Do you remember Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, will he not give all good things to us? Romans 8, right? He didn't spare his own son. Therefore, how can he not give us all good things? This psalmist here realizes the same truth or similar truth. So he explains about his God here. He delineates about God. So let me read verse 8. He says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So he explains about God. God does not leave me. God cannot leave me because he is faithful. He is with me day and night. And I know he loves me, and his love endures forever. I am his. I belong to him. And he commands his steadfast love. He commands his steadfast love. So he cares about me. He's a God who loves me, who is faithful to me, who cares for me. That's what this psalmist teaches us. His God has never forgotten him. His God cannot forget him because he's a faithful God. Because he's a God who commands steadfast love. Moreover, let's remember that our sufferings are not limited to us only. Verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Doesn't it sound familiar to you? Christ, our Lord, our Savior, also prayed to God in a similar way before he was gonna die soon. He said, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? The point that I want to make here is that every single matter or event in our life is connected to Christ. Our sufferings are closely interwoven with or to his sufferings. Let me quote two texts quickly. Philippians 1:29. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. So if you go through some difficult time or suffering or affliction, I want you to know that your pain points to the suffering of Christ. It's because you belong to him. Your suffering is not your own suffering anymore. Christ is deeply, personally, intimately connected or engaged in your suffering. Remember that the life you live now is by your faith in Christ, who died for you, who loved you. So your suffering is not your own suffering anymore. It is his suffering, as his suffering has become your suffering. As his glory has become your glory, you are united to Christ. So our God does not, our Heavenly Father does not forget the suffering of Christ, whom he loves the most. Our God cannot just pass by the wounds or scars of Christ, because he loves Christ infinitely. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves this question: Am I in Christ? Am I connected to Christ? Am I connected to his suffering? That in the midst of our suffering, we can rejoice. If I am in Christ, I can rejoice in the midst of my pain. I can find a great joy in my pain, in my sufferings, in my despair even, if I am in Christ, because I am more than conquerors now. Now his glory has become my glory. Now I experience this suffering with my Lord, who loves me. I am with him, and I believe that this cannot be compared to the glory that is coming to me. This suffering, this pain, cannot be compared to the glory that is mine. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Don't forget, his death, his suffering is the ultimate guarantee that you are being saved eternally. You are being protected eternally, that you can say, my Lord commands steadfast love for me. The Apostle Paul, as you know, was one of the, you know, one of God's people who loved Christ to the end, right? And who suffered for Christ immensely, the Apostle Paul. But do you remember how his ending life, his last life was? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, maybe 3, 4, he said, I have fought the good fight. Remember? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race now. I have kept my faith. Now I am being offered as an offering. Now I have to quote. It is 2 Timothy 4:16, and he says, "In my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's what he said. He said, all deserted me. He served God to the end. He suffered for God to the end. And he said, all deserted me, but Christ stood by me. He never left me. And I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that he will never leave me. And then what does he do here? He praises Christ. Let me read again. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. The people you love may hurt you. The people you trust may betray you. Whatever you put your trust in might disappoint you greatly. But I want you to know that Christ stands by you. He will stand by you forever and ever, as Paul put, Amen. Amen. Truly, truly, Lord. If this is your confession this afternoon, if this resonates with your heart, how can you not praise your God regardless of your suffering? You can find a great joy in the midst of your pain. That's a gospel mystery, if I may put. Let's pray. Father, please help us to be nearer to your Son. Please help us to find a great joy in sharing his suffering. Please help us to regard our suffering, pain, as our glorious mark that we are Christians, that we belong to you. Please bless everyone here as they love you so dearly. Father, let them know you love them so much. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.